The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
If you have little ears around, maybe you might want to drop out for maybe 10 or 15 minutes and then rejoin us, because we're going to be talking about a difficult issue, that being the issue of domestic violence and abuse. One in four children that Barnardo's works with have been experiencing abuse, and this led to the campaign Empower Kids Project to create awareness and give children a voice on what action needs to be taken. Stephanie White is with us. She's Assistant Director of Children's Services with Barnardo's. Good morning, Stephanie.
Morning. Morning.
Stephanie, when we talk about children suffering abuse, what are we talking about? Is this emotional abuse? Is this physical abuse? And what kind of patterns do you see?
I think we established Barnardo's Empower Kids Project in around 2019 because we'd been working a lot with children who'd experienced domestic abuse on an individual family level, and it's a very isolating and a lonely experience. So we brought children together in a group work context to meet other children who had experienced domestic abuse to decrease those feelings of isolation. And that led to the establishment of Barnardo's Empower Kids Project, whose goal is to increase the visibility of children's experience of domestic abuse. And one of the very first things that we did, which was really interesting, was that we asked children to define what childhood domestic violence and abuse for children is. And one of the first things we learned is that children use different language than adults. And so if you think of what a definition of domestic abuse is, if you look to our national policy documents, you know, it says exactly as you were saying there, all acts of physical, sexual, psychological or economic violence that occur within the family or the domestic unit or between former or current spouses or partners, whether or not the perpetrator has or hasn't shared the residence with the victim. So that's kind of the adult world. That's from the UN Convention. When we went to children, this is what they said. It is shouting, name-calling, crying, shattered glass, and sometimes punches, bruises and blood. It gets louder and louder. They don't think we can hear it, but we can hear it in our rooms when we're in bed, even if it's the last corner of the house. The difference between what children describe. They go on to say things like, it's a really bad feeling in our heart. It feels like it's broken. We feel angry, afraid, frustrated, worried, scared, confused, nervous and sad. So you can hear the real emotional impact of it. And then when they go on to describe what it's like every day, they say, we find it hard to stay out of it. But we try to stop it, but it doesn't work. Then they say, if we expect it, we will be ready for it, so it won't be as bad as the last time. And then they say, some adults think children are stupid and that they don't know what we're talking about because we're little, but all children have a voice.
If we expect it, then we're ready for it and it won't be as bad as the last time is almost the saddest of all of that.
Well, I think what you hear there is that children are centrally involved in the experience of domestic abuse in their home. You know, one of the main reasons that we are have the Empower Kids Project is to increase the visibility and the knowledge and the awareness that children absolutely experience it themselves, and it impacts in every aspect of their lives. So most adults would probably think, oh, they witnessed it or they heard it or, oh, they were upstairs, they didn't see it and they don't know it, they don't know about it. But in fact, children tell us over and over again that it's the absolute opposite of that. Not only do they experience it and they see it and they feel it, sometimes they're intervening in it as well. And if you think about a kind of a normative childhood experience, you know, what children get from their family life is security and shelter and that secure base of love and protection and safety from their parents. And that allows them then to branch out into the world of learning in school and getting involved in activities in the community. And children who've experienced domestic abuse, they don't have that family safety and security. It's characterized by fear and terror and unpredictability. And then that impacts on how they can get involved in school. So how on earth do you go to school and get into a learning place if this is what's going on at home? And some children tell us that sometimes they don't go to school because they're afraid of what will happen to typically their mother at home. So they miss out on school altogether, or else they're in school and they're afraid all day in school because they don't know what is happening at home with their mother.
One in four seems high.
So that is one in four of children who have accessed our targeted services. So that would be in 2023, just over 27% of children who accessed Barnardo's in targeted family support had an experience of current or historical domestic abuse.
So does that mean that one in four is taken from a cohort who may already be somewhat marginalised?
Yes. Yeah. So those who access our targeted services are those where they're already displaying some behavioural difficulties and their parents are saying that they're finding their behaviour challenging.
What do you see?
So it's more common than we think. And if you think about the statistics, is that, you know, they say that 1 in 4 women experience domestic abuse, and a lot of those would obviously have children. And it's less clear what the prevalence of children of the fathers.
You mentioned behavioural impact. What kind of behavioural impact, what kind of psychological impact do you see in the children who have lived these kind of lives?
Well, I suppose what we do see is that children tell us that it impacts on how they are at school. So as they say in school, is that sometimes they're quiet and withdrawn, and their parents think that, or their teachers think that they're as good as gold. So they get overlooked because they're not acting out, and they're kind of overlooked. And one of the children describes, like, they put on their mask and they have this mask on their face that says, I'm okay, when inside they're not. So children can't learn in that environment. So they're not engaged in learning, and they're not exploring their talents in the way that they should and could be. The alternative to that then is that outside of school, they don't have, they're afraid to bring their friends home. They struggle with their friendships. They won't go to other people's houses. They won't invite children to their houses. So those normative peer relationships that most children should and could have, where they learn and have fun and have shared joy, they don't have those either. And so then as they move on to adult life, they have a feeling of disconnection. They have lack confidence. But what is very positive, and what we see, and you can hear from the words that I use directly from the children's mouths, by participating in this Empower Kids project, what we see is a real amazing sense of agency and capability and capacity. Because what they want, this group of children, 74 children who've participated in this, they want to reach out to other children in their circumstances and help them. They want to reach out to the professionals who work with children and say, see us, know us, see that we do actually experience this as well. And they have great ideas.
Well, on that topic, you describe this part of the objective of this campaign is to create awareness. Mm-hmm. Whatever about the creation of awareness, what kind of interventions can be staged? Because this is a notoriously difficult area mm-hmm. for anyone to engage with. So even if you begin to think, I have suspicions that that child is living in the kind of environment that you describe, how do you do anything about it?
Well, I think that what children who've experienced domestic abuse in the Empower Kids Project tell us over and over again, there's three things that they tell us. Firstly, that they want us to know, and they tell us needs to be addressed, is one, see us, know that we experience domestic abuse as well. So if you're in the environment of working with children, inform yourself as a professional or a parent or an adult to know what the signs are. The second thing that children tell us is that they want their mothers to get help when they need it. So children are telling us all the time that they see the impact of the behaviour, and it is typically more frequently women who are the victims of domestic abuse in the adult relationship. They tell us that they see their mothers being impacted negatively and they don't get help at the time that they need it. And the third thing that they tell us is they want somebody to tell their fathers to stop. And they don't see that. And so in their daily lives, they look out and they see, you know, they rarely get those three things. And how that plays out is what happens when they're in the family courts, what happens when they're interacting with social workers, when they're interacting with Gardaí. Those things play out. And so what they are very clear to us in saying, see us. Talk to us, ask us our opinion, engage with us. And this is a really ambitious project because they've been involved, you know, some of them have been involved since the start around 2019. Every year, more and more children are gaining the confidence to participate and to contribute and to have increased their agency. And they have ideas as what can be done in the family courts and what can be done in social work.
But can you go to the last of their requests? Because that thing of we want somebody to tell our fathers to stop, that is the kind of thing where classically the received wisdom is that so doing can exacerbate the problem mm-hmm. because if it is the woman in the relationship who does it, there is a chance that she will be punished for it. Mm-hmm. If it is the child who brings an adult in authority mm-hmm. into the family mm-hmm. to tackle the father, that the child might mm-hmm. be punished for it.
Well, what children tell us and what we know is that actually they love their fathers. They really love their fathers, the exception of when there's sexual abuse. But for the by and large, they love their fathers. And the only thing that they want is the bad behaviour to stop. And what children tell us is they want somebody to say to them, they want their dads to admit that it happened, because often the dads gaslight them and don't acknowledge that it happened. So they want their dads to admit that it has happened. They want them to admit that it shouldn't have happened, that they're sorry that it happened and that it won't happen again. So when children say to us, you know, when I'm bold, I get in trouble. And what they see is that their dads in their eyes are being bold and are not getting into trouble. And so that's the piece that they want their fathers to do. They want somebody to say to them, you need to stop doing this. And that means holding fathers accountable for their own behaviour.
But it doesn't undermine their love for their father.
It doesn't really, no. Children love their fathers. Now, what does undermine their love for their fathers if their fathers can't admit that it was happening? Because, you know, the children were there. They were there. They see it. They see the dynamic. They see what the fathers who's choosing to abuse is doing to their mothers, which makes their mothers feel unworthy, not able and incapable. And so it is hopeful in the sense that if the children, they're incredibly forgiving and they're able to look forward and see that if my dad gets the help that he needs and if my mum gets the help that she needs and I get the help I need, actually our future is much better. And they can move forward and see a solution. And so the children involved in the Empower Kids project, what we're doing this week is really exciting because we've got radio ads of the children and they're reclaiming the space. So they're fighting to stop the fighting, this group of children. And so there's radio ads all this week. I'm in here today and a lot of them this week have post cards that they're sending to Helen McEntee and Simon Harris this week to kind of put a spotlight on, see us, ask us. And then over the next few months, we have strategies of things that they can recommend.
When you say see us and ask us, who is it that you are hoping will see them and ask them?
Well, I suppose the services that they engage with all the time. So, for example, if you imagine, you know, what you asked that question there a minute ago about what can somebody do, It's a nervous and wary topic. People are afraid to make the situation worse, as you describe. So if you're a professional in the front line, you can be aware of what services are available in your local community. So if you're a teacher in a classroom, you can educate yourself, say, well, what are the signs of domestic abuse? What are the signs that I should be looking out for? And what are the services in my area, if I have a worry or a concern, that I can ring and get help and advice and ask them what I should do? Those are the kinds of things. Children, the Empower Kids Project themselves have come up with a fantastic poster called Your Right, Our Responsibilities, and it's 20 tips to professionals working with children about what to do if you come across a situation of domestic abuse. And again, coming back to the sharp simplicity of what children do, straight to the point, it's look me in the eye, come down to my level, see me in the room, come down, you know, bend down to me, be kind to me, ask me how I am. Repeat the questions if I'm struggling to understand. Be patient with me. Believe me. These are very simple interpersonal skills that people are afraid to demonstrate with children in the moment because they're afraid they'll make the situation worse. But what children are telling us over and over again is see us, engage with us, ask us, look at us, smile at us, be kind. Very, very simple things that can make a very, very difficult situation for a child to feel seen and more valued and worthy.
Stephanie, thank you very much for your time this morning. That's Stephanie White, who is Assistant Director of Children's Services with Barnard.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.